Book of John, chapter number 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
Here's what I'm preaching on tonight. And if I go and prepare a place for you, right here, I will come again. And receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you tonight for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Queen Victoria was a ruler in Europe. She ruled Britain during the lifetime of Charles Spurgeon. Amen. On the first anniversary of the ascension of Edward VII to the throne of England, during the service of Canterbury Cathedral, Victoria's chaplain, Dean Ferrara, told the story. After hearing a sermon at the Windsor on the second coming of Christ, the Queen spoke to the Dean about it and said, "Oh, how I wish that the Lord would come during my lifetime." "Why does your majesty feel this very earnest desire?" asked the Dean. With appropriate emotion, she replied, "Because I would love to lay my crown down at his feet."
Hallelujah. Yes.
Woo, amen. Oh, I don't know about you and I, but me and you will never wear a crown in this old world.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We'll never be kings and queens and princes or princesses and things such as that. But I love what Paul said, that we anticipate the crown of glory at the judgment seat of Christ one day. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I don't know about you, Brother George, but one of these days, we're going to stand. Amen. And what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And the saint will not get away from that. Amen. We're going to stand there and get a reward for what we've done down here.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And when the Lord gives us a crown, hallelujah, my, one of these days, I'm going to have a crown.
Hallelujah.
But we have the privilege of presenting those trophies to our Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glory to God. No subject thrills me. I don't believe in my, and I don't think I'm old whatsoever, so don't take it like that. But in my older ministry, amen, I love preaching about the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I love preaching and warning and telling people, get ready, Jesus is about to come. Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight, if the Lord would help us, I'd like to preach on why I'm looking for Jesus to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scriptures teach us that we Christian believers will meet our Lord for the first time in the air. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. Praise God. Some people teach and believe that there's going to be a meeting place, but according to the word of God, the saints is going to lift up off of this earth. Jesus is going to come riding on a cloud, and that is going to be the meeting place of the rapture, if you will,
amen,
of the great catching away. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to meet Jesus in the clouds, and the Bible said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And it's kind of like when you walk down that aisle of holy matrimony with your, amen, then girlfriend, and you walk up there, glory to God, and you've been living in your place, and she's been living in her place, but when you walk up there, amen, and you meet at that altar, glory to God, and you hold hands, and that preacher says the vows there, do you take this man, do you take this woman, and you say yes, glory to God, I tell you, walk out there and you move out of your house, or maybe you had a house and she moves out where she lived, and now you're ever together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. For richer or for poorer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been preaching about Jesus. Amen. I've been taught about Jesus since I was just a little boy, but one of these days, hallelujah, Brother Anthony, I'm going to ever be with the Lord. Glory to God. God, I don't know about you. Amen. I kind of took a liking to Brother Prescott. Amen. Not really just because he stopped by here, but that night after church, we went over there and talked, and we just had a lot in common. He pioneered a church, of course, it's been 40 years ago. We just had a lot in common. We talked good together. Amen. And the other night, we was talking, and he is enjoying talking, and we is enjoying talking after church. They had a son up in there and asleep in the bed, and they had to get up at 5 o'clock the next morning to go to work. So he's trying to keep it down, and I had to say goodbye. Amen. Glory to God. I love Brother Preston. I love his wife. Her dear daddy was 91 years old. He just passed away. Pastored and preached most all of his life. They're good, sweet people. I hated to say goodbye. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. There's a lot of times when you just hate to shut the door and shake hands and say, I'm sorry, but I'll see you another time. But can you imagine one of these days, Paul said, when we meet him in the clouds of glory, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There'll be no more goodbyes. There'll be no more see you tomorrow. But we're forever going to be in the presence of the Lord. I come to tell you tonight, church, that's worth serving the Lord for. That's worth giving up your sin for. To get to live with Jesus forever. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I feel like preaching here. Glory to
yes,
God.
Lord.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. The grand day. Amen. When is it going to come? Are we looking for the Antichrist to set up his throne? And we're going to get into some of this. I believe the very end of time is setting up right now.
Yes, it is.
Woo!
Yeah.
Glory to God. Oh, we go. We're waiting on the Antichrist to come and set up his kingdom and his throne and all the above. And I'm not going to get so much in the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. Amen. I'm not looking, glory to God, for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And the Antichrist don't hold no weight with me. But Jesus Christ said just prior, amen, to the end of time, and the Antichrist setting up his throne and taking the world over. Really, if you will, just prior to that, Jesus said to watch and wait and to get ready, because at a moment when you don't expect it, I'm coming back for my church, amen. Just before I pour out my wrath upon this earth, Jesus said, watch and wait and get ready, because at any moment you can be taken away. And I come to tell you tonight, don't get carried away with the pleasures of this old world. Don't get carried away with the materialistic possessions and homes and houses and land and jobs. And I know a lot of those are important, but I come to tell you, don't get too attached to that. Get ready and start looking for him. Get ready and start looking for the coming of the Lord. He just might come back tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Bless
him, yes.
Well, Tom, give me Matthew 24 real quick. Matthew 24. Glory to God. Brother Anthony, you got yours?
Yeah.
Amen. We'll get it ready. I ain't got the verse yet. When I flip my page, I'll give you one. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of people just simply don't believe in the rapture at all. Amen.
Amen.
A fellow one time told me, and if I call his name, you'd know him. I wouldn't embarrass nobody for the world. But somebody said, amen, I just don't believe in the rapture and the resurrection of this old body. Amen. I'm going to get into this in just a moment. Amen. Brother Jason, who's going to go? I tell you who's going to go. Amen. It's just there's going to be a whole generation of people that's alive that'll never see death. This ain't some folklore. I'm preaching to you the word of God. Amen. There's going to be, amen, untold thousands, amen, that will never experience death. And the Bible said when he comes back, I'm going to get you some of these verses in a minute, amen, that great God, the dead in Christ. But Brother Jason, if I'm dead and I'm not alive, so therefore I'm not going to get caught up. Oh no, you're going to get caught up first. Amen. The dead in Christ, the Bible said, shall be raised incorruptible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just as though you had never sinned. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to gather your old body. And here's where a man told me one time, I
I'm not going to need this nobody. You might not, but God does. Amen. Why do I need? I don't know. God designed the program, not me. And God said he's going to resurrect our bodies. Amen. Jesus resurrected in bodily form, and so will you and I. They looked at him, pray God, and they knew him not, but he was in a bodily form. And I come to tell you tonight, I don't care if they scatter your ashes over top of the Rocky Mountains. I don't care if they sink a vase to the bottom of the deep blue sea. He's going to resurrect and gather us back like that valley in Ezekiel spoke about. The dead dry bones, can they live again? Yes, Lord, they can live again. He's going to resurrect us. He's going to raise us up incorruptible. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Jesus taught very clearly that he would return to take away his followers. Matthew 24, this is a lot of reading, and since I'm not reading it, Brother Tom, you may filter through some of these, but somewhere there around 42. And let's just take your time tonight. You don't have to be in a hurry.
Come on.
But really 42 through, what is it, 51? Is 51 the end of that chapter?
Yeah.
Filter through there real quick and tell us what it says.
Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch ye therefore.
One to be left.
Yeah. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
You don't know?
But know this.
Somebody said he's coming in 1988. He was wrong. Somebody said he's coming in a certain year, 2 or 3 months down the road. He's wrong. Right. Ain't nobody knows what day or hour. If some false prophet, what's his name, old Jones down there, and they said, oh, the Lord's about to come back, and they had all these followers, and they had them on. When somebody rises up and said, get ready, the Lord's coming back on January the 21st of 23, next year, I tell you one day he's not coming back. Right. He'll not come back that day, because no man knows the day nor the hour. Tell us what it says.
But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come.
All right, hold it right there. Listen to this. This gives us a perfect picture of the last days.
Yeah, right.
He said, and this is a whole other message here, really. But he said, amen. He said, Brother Tommy, if the goodman of the house would have known what hour the thief would have come, he'd have been watching.
Yeah.
Woo! If you really say that, what he was saying is, he'd be armed and ready. Glory to God. A man preached a message one time on the right to bear arms. Right there in the Word of God, I know this is another message, gives us a right to bear arms to protect what's ours. Woo! I'm not for killing and murdering, but when a time of war breaks out, we've got to protect what's ours. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! And Jesus said, if you had have known that the thief was coming, glory to God.
Yeah.
Woo! I tell you what, you'd be watching over what's yours. I'll never forget that time, Brother Tommy, we was across that. We was over at the Christian church in Westmoreland there at White Church on Piedmont, right down from the middle school there. And Daniel got finished weed eating, and he set my weed here beside the truck in the sidewalk was a patch of grass. And he said, I don't know why he did that, but he set it down beside the, instead of putting it in the back of the truck, which probably wouldn't have mattered much, but he set it down there. And he said a weird car and a weird looking fella pulled up in front of the truck, and he got out and he leaned against the side of the car, and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette. And Daniel said, I thought to myself, what's that guy doing? He waited. I was already in the back of the house across the street. We moved one across the street and one over here. I was across the street, Brother Tony. Amen. And Daniel went around the church, I guess, blowing off or something. And that old fella grabbed my papa's steel weed eater that he traded me out of a lawnmower. Amen. And he stole my steel weed eater. Glory to God. I tell you, by the time I come out there, and I said, and Daniel said, that weed eater's gone. I said, where's it at? He said, I don't know, but there's an odd fella smoking a cigarette standing beside the car. He probably took it. I said, jump in the truck, Daniel. Where are we going? I said, what'd that fella look like? He said, he got in the white car, explained the car. I said, tell me when you find that car. Amen. And he started getting nervous. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm taking back my weed eater. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, ain't nobody going to stand back and let the enemy come in. And I come to tell the church tonight, we've stood back long enough. It's time to be on the offense. It's time to get a pep in our step. It's time to fast and pray. It's time to get some fire.
kids go to hell. I'm gonna let my family go to hell. I'm gonna let my church die. I'm gonna get the fire of God. And I come to tell us tonight, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. All
right.
Woo! God. Thank you.
Jesus called very clearly that he's coming back. Finish, Brother Tom. I'm sorry I keep interrupting you.
If he had known
when the thief would come,
what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in.
It's time to watch. We better start watching.
That's it.
Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Wait there. There's another good message. Yeah. When's it come?
Yeah.
I was really surprised at this latest war. I mean, Russia's been down there for months. They've been down there for weeks. They know they're going to attack. But most of the time the enemy comes, he don't announce when he's coming.
No.
Most of the time the enemy comes, he keeps it quiet. And he sneaks in there like an old snake. And he tries to catch his opponent unaware. Woo! And Jesus said that when he comes back, glory to God. And I want to stick mostly to the New Testament. I know you can go back, and he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming. What was it like in Noah's day? They were eating. They were drinking.
Right.
They were marrying. They were giving them. What was it? They was just so busy in life, nobody was looking for the judgment of God.
Amen.
I come to tell you tonight, that's where we are tonight.
Amen.
We're so busy living life, nobody's looking for the Lord.
Amen.
We're so busy living our everyday life, nobody cares. Is Jesus really coming? I come to tell you tonight, wake up. Wake up. He's coming again. He's coming back. And don't get caught unaware. He's going to come when you least expect him.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household?
All right. Wait just a second. Sorry. But at this point, Jesus told the story of this church member, if you will, who was totally unprepared for the coming of the Lord. Start there again. Who then is faithful?
Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing.
Yeah.
Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Yes.
But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, then the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Then shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
What a picture of the church today.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Lord. Amen. A world that's living like they don't have the faintest clue that Jesus is about to come back.
All right.
The very idea that Jesus could be coming at any moment is the furthest thing from reality to most of the people out in the world today.
Right.
If you go out in the street and stand there with a camcorder and a little microphone and do recordings and interview folks and say, hey, mister, go down there, Huntington, go to Ashland, go to any city around, go to Canova, go down there and say, hey, man, get you a video camera, and say, hey, tell me, do you believe Jesus is about to come? What would the average person say? Oh, no. That's an old wives' tale. I've heard that all my life. I've heard preachers talk about that for years. Jesus ain't about to come. We're living better than we ever have. We got better homes than we ever have. We're eating better. We got better cars. We got more money than we ever have. We're living good. Jesus ain't about to come. And I come to tell you, that's exactly where the church world is today. They're not expecting the Lord to come. And I come to tell us, it's a prime time. Amen. The atmosphere, the setting is just right for the coming of the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. The word also I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Jesus didn't promise golden mansions. We read this verse. Listen to this. And we think, well, he promised me I was going to have a golden mansion one day. Oh, no. Hallelujah. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Right.
Listen to this. Jesus was from the Middle East area. Glory to God. And I never knew this until I was reading here, studying this, and I preached on the coming of the Lord many times. But in the Middle Eastern area, a lot of times a man of means would build a home. He'd build a rather large, square, hollow home. And he'd box off maybe a corner of that, and that's where he and his family would live.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Woo! And maybe his son got old enough, and he'd find a wife, and that's what Jesus was on. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. In the Oriental culture of that day, the father would have a rather big hall, square house, and the father lived in a corner of it, and there'd be a hall out there, and they would box off another portion for his son to live with the father in his mansion, if you will. Glory to God. And we think we're going to live somewhere in our independent mansion on the Pacific Ocean one day, and there's going to be a great big mansion just for me. I come to tell you, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. But I know this. I'm going to be in there with the Father. Hallelujah. And that'll be mansion enough for me. As long as he's there, as long as he's in the house, it'll be just like home. And I come to tell us, get ready, church. Get ready, church. The Lord is about to come. Amen.
Yes.
Woo! In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. The main ingredient, hallelujah, this emphasizes the fact of the unity of the family. We're going to be together. Every church ought to have a unity aspect to togetherness when we come together in the house of the Lord to worship.
Amen.
Yes. Every family ought to have an element of unity. Glory to God. And it's not much something we do anymore. But we ought to have a family table that we sit down. And I realize we eat in a hurry and we come home from work. And I'm bad for this. And a lot of times in the summer months when I'm working long hours and I'm working, I rush in and get something to eat, get a shower and rush on out the door to church. Amen. But we ought to have a unity, a family element of getting together with one another. That's what heaven's going to be. Hey, I'm going to preach right here a minute. If you can't get along with your brothers and your sisters down here, you're going to the wrong place. Because up there, we're going to be in the Father's house of many mansions. We're going to be with him and going to be with others. I want to learn to get along with others. Some people can't get along because they don't want to get along. But I want to learn to get along with others.
Amen.
It ain't all my for no more of my way or the highway.
No.
It's what God wants.
Right.
Amen. And I would like to throw that in there here tonight. God give us an aspect of unity in this church right here.
Right
here. Won't you raise your hand with me right here and ask the Lord to do that? God, you see every one of us in this house tonight. Oh, God, as I was praying and studying over this today, Lord, I felt like you, amen, would have me to do this right here. Lord, would you give us unity in this house, God? Lord, would you bind every chain? God, would you bind every cord that the enemy has and get rid of it and bring unity in the house, amen.
You got to have unity.
Amen.
If you have a family, you got to have unity. If you have a church, you got to have unity.
Sure.
You got to come together. Amen.
Yes.
Ooh. If you got a problem, if you got a job, you got to have unity. You can't go down there in chaos and try to work in that mess.
No.
You got to have unity in anything, especially in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. I'm moving on here. Brother Anthony, I told you to get you my. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'm going to need some good verses in there here in just a moment. Go all the way down to 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Listen, the main ingredient of that lengthy passage in John 14 is this. Jesus told his disciples that he was leaving, but he said this, if I go away, I love this, I will come again.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, people that leave and never come back, Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm going to tell you tonight, he will be back.
Yes, he will.
I bet it down my spine.
Yeah.
I said, he will come back.
Amen.
Glory to God. However,
notice this. Jesus never really filled the details in. Woo! So now we got to go to 1 Corinthians and we got to get Paul involved. And I'm going to let Anthony read this. Read me the first verse there, verse 51, 15 and 51. 1 Corinthians, 15 and 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
All right, I'm going to need some more in a minute, but let's look at this. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery.
Right.
Ooh, what is this mystery? Amen. It's something we've never heard of before. Oh, no, Jesus told us he is coming back. But a mystery in Scripture, amen, it simply means it was previously unveiled. It's a previously unveiled truth, amen, of the gospel. So Paul was saying, look, I'm going to tell you something that you never heard before. You heard Jesus talk about he's coming back. Now listen, he's given me the revelation. He's given me the gospel to give to you. Listen here, I'm going to show you a mystery, amen. Look, I'm going to teach you something that you've never heard before, amen. And tell us, Brother Anthony, he said, I'm going to show you a mystery. Read it on there.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed.
Woo! I love this.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. He said, I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Right here's what I told you there a while ago. Amen. And when Jesus comes riding on the cloud, there will be untold thousands. I'm hoping millions. I don't know how many. But there's going to be a number that will be alive that will never see death.
Right.
But he also said, amen, there's going to be a lot in the grave planted on the hillsides. Hallelujah. Right. It's going to come out. What did he say? Number one, not every believer would die. Hallelujah. A whole generation of believers, hallelujah, is going to get away from the undertaker. Amen. Glory to God. I come to tell you tonight, I'm not looking. I believe Jesus is going to come back in my generation.
Yes.
I really do. Yeah, I'm not looking for an undertaker. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said one time, amen, when I think about dying and an undertaker doing all that they do to the bodies to get them ready, who it gives me the heebie jeebies. I'm not looking for an undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. I said, I'm looking for the uppertaker. Hallelujah. He's going to come back and take us up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And he said, those, number two, those who have died as Christian believers will rise first. Here's where I'm getting ahead of myself. Brother Tommy, give me real quick. I know you can find it fast. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Those who have died as a Christian will rise first.
That's what it says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
He's coming down.
With a shout.
With a shout.
With the voice of the archangel.
Voice of the archangel.
And with the trump of God.
Trump of God.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Those who have died as a Christian is going to rise first. Amen. And the third thing Paul says, Paul had to say, amen, that Paul had to say was that this whole thing will take place. How long is it going to take? Is it going to take a month? Is it going to take 4 months like Russia's been gathering around the Ukraine over there? How long is it going to take? Is it going to take him weeks, maybe months to get his people in line? Oh, no. But my Bible said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, amen, that's how long it's going to take. That's how powerful my God is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, glory to God, amen, it's going to happen so quick that most of the world is not even going to know what hit them. There's going to be airplanes flying around, and if that pilot was a Christian, it's going to be a pilotless plane. Glory, there's going to be locomotive trains going across the country, and if that operator
years a Christian, it's going to be going by itself. If you think this world's a bad place right now, don't stick around. I said, don't stick around. It's going to be horrible when the church is lifted out of here. I come to tell us, you don't want to be left behind. You don't want to stay and face the wrath of God.
They're going to go down to the radio station and say, give me some tapes of them old preachers. I want to hear them again.
Woo! Our churches are empty now, but on that day, they'll fill up and have prayer meetings like you ain't never seen. But it'll be too late. Hey! Today's a day of salvation. Don't wait too late. Don't put it off. Hey! I said they're going to fill the churches, but it'll be too late.
Glory to God. I got so much more.
Bless you, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus, my Lord.
Help us, Jesus. Amen. Are you prepared?
Bless you, Lord.
Are you not?
Come on, brother.
Oh, Paul wrote Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Yeah.
The writer to the Hebrews wrote in the Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And it will not tarry. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. I say will not tarry. James, the brother of Christ, wrote, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Amen. I come to tell you, he's standing at the door. And he's getting ready to open up. And he's getting ready to blow that trumpet. And say, Gabriel, go get my children.
Glory.
Oh, God. About done. I need to get this off my heart. It is not difficult to pinpoint the difference between the first century believers and the 21st century believers. Yeah, I know there's 2,000 years difference there. But the early Christians lived in a state of expectancy of the return of Christ.
Right.
Paul in his day lived as though he looked for Jesus to come back right now. Amen. And I want you to look how we are in our day. We're living life as though we've got a million more years to live. Oh, the difference between the first century church and the 21st century church. Amen. Oh, yes, a tent or a college. Why should I care? A place with the Lord was awaiting them over there. Languishing in prison beneath Nero's palace, awaiting death by execution. I want you to listen to this. Nero had Paul in his hand and said, Paul, don't you know I've got power to take your life? And I love this. Oh, Nero had his axe sharper than it ever been before. But Paul never worried about that axe. Oh, no. But he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's waiting for me a crown of righteousness. He wasn't worried about Nero. He is worried about facing Jesus. He wasn't worried about the world. He is worried about heaven. I come to tell us, get your eyes off the world and get it on the Lord.
He didn't care about Nero.
No.
He was worried about the Lord.
Have I done enough for you, Jesus?
Ooh. Paul could have got off, really, look like. But he said, I must needs go.
Stand before Nero. Paul knew he had to give one last sermon.
Thank God.
He knew he had to preach one last message to the tyrant of all the world. Amen. Glory to God. It wasn't Nero's acts that he worried about. Oh, no. Amen. No wonder he wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:13, keep your commission clean. Amen. Here's what I want. Brother John, give me this one. 1 Timothy 6 13 and 14. Great God. Amen. Keep clean. Keep your record clean. Let me tell you something. I want to take about 2 seconds right here and let you know it's very important to keep your record clean. Oh, yes. Brother George, as a preacher of the gospel, I tried to keep my record clean as a preacher of the gospel. Amen. I run a business. Amen. I mow over 100. I've mowed for hundreds of people through the years. I guess last year we mowed over 100 folks. Amen, Brother George. And as far as I know, you could go to knock on the door. I can give you numbers. And you could go search out my record. Has Jason ever cheated you? Has he ever done you wrong? Has he ever done anything or said maybe he's going to do something and didn't do it? Or did it and said it and didn't do it? And I believe you'll find that my record's clean. It's important to have a clean record. Hey, I'm trying to keep myself unspotted. I've tried to keep myself pure so the Lord can use me in His work in this last day. Keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world.
You know, it's hard for churches to find pastors nowadays.
That's true.
You can't find nobody's got a clean record.
True. Amen.
Come on.
You're right, bro.
Can't find somebody that ain't ran off with every piano player here and there and yonder. Got 5 different wives. We got preachers full and fill of pulpits every day. Living in adultery.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir.
Sure. Oh, God.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm not trying to give Jason a pat on the back whatsoever right here. I'm just telling you, it's very important to live a life unspotted and pure. Amen. And holy unto the Lord.
Right, brother. Right. Amen.
And I would like to remind you right here tonight, you've got a pastor such as that.
Right.
Not one person can put their finger on my life and say, you did this.
Right.
Oh, no, no, no.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
Amen. Not one woman could come up to me, and Michelle come back for me. She never bragged on me. I had to hear it through the grapevine when Sally come out there that day at the hospital and said, Michelle, you got a good husband. She said, I've noticed him down through the years working here in the hospital around all these. Said he never went out of his way one time to say anything of ill will towards any woman. Amen. 12 years of my life I worked with majority women. 12 years of my life, and not one person could put their finger on my life.
Bless him, Lord.
Woo!
Thank you.
Come on, brother.
Come on.
And I feel like that's very important to live unspotted.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Tell us, Brother John, what it said.
What did I tell you? 13 and 14.
I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep yourself without spot, without blemish, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I said, I believe he's about to come back. Don't you
believe?
Woo! I said, I believe he's about to come back. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Do you know that in the epistles of the New Testament alone, there are 22 admonitions for the apostles, calling for purity, calling for patience. Amen. Oh, yes. And service in the light of the return of Jesus Christ. Well, when that time comes, I'll make myself ready. I'll wait until it looks like the Lord's about to come back. And then I'll get, oh, no. It don't work like that. He's going to come in a moment when you think not. He's going to come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. It's either be ready or get left behind.
Amen.
The Bible said the whole earth groans for the redemption of the Savior. It's groaning. And I feel the earth groaning for the coming of the Lord. You can feel it in the air. You can feel the climax that something's approaching this world. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with mankind, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them. Oh, yes, Revelation 21:3. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be an end to death and mourning and crying and pain, for the old
order has passed away. Amen. This earth is mourning, it's travailing, it's moaning for the coming of the Lord, because when he comes, he's going to set, amen, order straight.
Yes, yes.
There'll be no more murder. There'll be no more sin. Great God, there'll be no more cancer, no more heart attacks. When he comes, he's going to set things right. Amen.
Thank God.
Daniel Webster once was asked, what was the greatest thought that he'd ever had? You're talking about a brilliant man that put out the dictionary. And he replied, the greatest thought that's ever come across my mind is my accountability to God.
Oh, God.
I come to tell you tonight, you're going to stand to count one of these days.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, I hope I never get audited from the IRS. I've tried to do things right. But let me tell you something. I hope I never get audited. I've heard people get audited, and they say it's a nightmare. They can go back, 7, 8, 10 years? And they can pull up things that you don't even remember about. Well, I see it here where you made a... They pull up things that you done forgot about. And they'll really take you through the mud. I've heard people talk about it, and they sweat just to remember it. Let me tell you something. Yep. When you stand before God, he's going to be way harder and way worse than the IRS.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I want to be able to give a clean account before the Lord one of these days.
Amen.
Stand with me in this house.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to leave you with this. Brother Earl, Putin just invaded Russia. Putin just invaded the Ukraine.
Yeah.
The end of times, it's unfolding right before our eyes. Mm-hmm. All right. So now the whole world knows China's got their eyes on what is it, Taiwan. Putin has already said that if anybody intervenes, I feel like he's speaking to America. He said if anybody intervenes and get in the middle of this, he said the world will see effects and results that it's never seen before. Now we think Russia's some poor country, and they are poor, and all their people starving to death over there, but they got nuclear weapons.
Right.
China's got nuclear weapons. We might be able to whip Russia, but we can't whip Russia and China.
Right.
You know, China's got almost shy of 1.5 billion people. You know how many America's got? 350 million. They've got we've got 1/10 of their population. That's not counting Russia in there. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to make people afraid. I'm not trying to make people fearful. But we've wandered through the years and we preach the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. It's coronavirus happening. And it's got everybody deterred. We're worried about some microscopic germ that's took the world over. And yes, it's important. And yes, it's been deadly. And yes, it's been very serious. But right now in the midst, when the whole world is deterred about everything else that's going on, the end time, amen, is starting to set up right before our eyes.
It's here. Oh, God.
So, what's going to happen, Jason? America's not in anti-prophecy. Russia is, China is, a lot of these people are, but America's not. I'll tell you why, because somebody said, amen, if the United States of America go with another World War III breaks out, we ain't got really a lot of allies. Who's going to help us, Great Britain? They got some, who's going to help us, Germany? I mean, who's going to help us?
Right.
Against Russia and China, the superpowers of the world. What happened to America? I tell you what happened. Every nation that forgets God should be turned into hell. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, church. I'm warning us. What's going to happen to America? I tell you what's going to happen to us. A very war that we're embarking in on. I'm not trying to use scare tactics here tonight. I'm trying to get us to understand we're closer to the end of time than what you think. If we get in an all-out war with Russia and China, they'll wipe us off the map.
Right.
Is God going to spare us? I'm afraid not.
No.
Because America's turned back on God.
You're right, bro.
You know what we've been preaching for years, Brother Tommy?
Right.
We've been preaching that when all this homosexual and gay agenda, it started coming really to forefront under Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
He started putting them in the military. When it got the Obama and Biden in there, you know, Biden, Vice President Obama, that's when they passed it. They could marry.
That's right.
And ever since then, I know preachers all across the country, including myself, has been preaching that you study history, Brother Earl, and every nation, there's always been homosexuality, there's always been sodomized, there's always been homosexuality. But here's the problem. When you go to accepting that as a nation and putting your arms and hugging that and saying, we want this, every time in history, as far back as Rome, that nation was destroyed.
Right. Yes, sir.
In America, has climbed into bed with sodomites.
Right.
We've got them running our country now.
Yes.
Our president of the United States of America has married gays and lesbians.
Yep.
Reprobates.
So you use the scare tactic, oh no, but I believe we're heading for things that we've never seen in our generation.
We don't know
those days, Brother Tommy, of the 40s. When they had to draft 18, 24-year-olds, every one of them.
Yeah.
Send them out to war.
Sure did.
We're living in that time.
That's right.
We're living in that time. We're going to have to draft all our boys and send them off. Amen. We're living in the last days.
Right.
I said we're living in the last days.
Yes.
Come on, bro.
Oh, for the Holy Ghost right here.
Oh, Lord.
For
God.
The Holy Ghost right here.
There's your way.
Oh, God. Somebody help me up there on this piano. I'm going to give us an altar call right here. Lord. I preach what you told me to preach right here tonight.
Lord, have your way, mighty God.
It's what it felt on my heart when I got back there in that little study, Lord. And I got to pray and got to read and got to study. And I felt this on my heart, God. And I preached to it the best I could, Lord. And I felt like you touched me a little bit here tonight.
Lord,
God, if there's one in this house tonight, that's who I'm preaching to. Are you ready to meet the Lord?
Have your way, Lord.
You got every sin under the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to meet God? If not, you better be the first one in this altar tonight. So you may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. You better step out of that seat. You better step out of that aisle right now and say, Lord,
glory to the name of the Lord.
Maybe you're in here tonight and you've been sprinkling around the edges. You say, Lord, I just can't get in full force. I just can't get in head first and give my all to it. I come to tell you tonight, you ain't got much longer. You ain't got much longer to really make your mind up. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to get in this thing 100%. I'm going to quit skirting around the edge. I'm going to get in this thing. Oh, I don't know how to explain it to you, but it stirred me the other night on a Sunday night when we begged and pleaded and said, oh, God, would you spare them Ukrainians over there? And I felt the Holy Ghost reaching out to people I've never met.
Who's
going to pray for us?
Putin said if anybody gets into this endeavor between he and Ukraine,
the world's going to see things they've never seen before.
You say it's just big talk. Let me tell you something. Vladimir Putin is full of the devil. He would unleash nuclear weapons at a heartbeat. He's possessed by the devil. I'm not trying to make this political. I'm not trying to scare you, but this is what I feel on my heart tonight. First night back on a Thursday night. Amen. Here's what I feel on my heart. I'm trying to help us here tonight. Who'll be the first one in here and say, Lord, I'm going to get it all right. I don't want to wait until it's too late. I don't want to wait until there's no time to get it right. She's just going to tarry here for another moment, and I'm going to call the church in. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to get serious with God. I said, this is your opportunity to get serious with God. Lord, I want to get serious about it. I want to be ready to meet you, Lord. Time's coming down to a night. Time's coming down to the end. Amen. I ain't got time to worry about all the little things. I ain't got time to worry about possessions and all the wealth and fame and fashions and good times and Hollywood and all the things of this world. I ain't got time for that. I got to get serious with you. I got to get serious with you. Come on. If the Lord should come back 1 week from now, you don't use this opportunity tonight, you'll wish 1,000 times again I had one more Thursday night.
Oh, God, give me another Thursday night to pray. Give me another altar call. Give me another time when I can feel the presence of God one more time. To the Holy Ghost here tonight, church. Thank you, Brother Anthony. One of you good brothers, come up here and pray with him. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else tonight want to step out of that seat and say, God, I'm going to get serious about my soul. My soul's going to live forever, and I don't want to go to hell.
Honey.
Get serious about my soul tonight. Come on, come on, come on. Let's get these altars. Come on, church. Come on, I gotta get serious. I can't wait till it's too late. I can't wait till it's too late. I gotta get serious about my soul. Oh, God. Oh, God, I gotta get serious.
Hurt you can't explain when the world has left you lonely. Loving God will take you underneath His wing and restore your broken dream and love you like no
saints of God.
Oh, I'm gonna lie. dreams. And I love you like no
I'm That suffered so.